Thank you, everybody. Being here today, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 is where we'll be. Much of Barb and my pre-marriage relationship was long distance. We met shortly before I took off for Bible college in Springfield, Missouri, and had a brief dating relationship. Then we're writing back and forth that first year. And it was during that time she wrote in one of her letters that she'd met another young man. And I took that to mean that she was dating this fellow, which I guess I was wrong about, but that kind of ended our fledgling little relationship. Until that summer, we both happened to be at the same party. We really didn't interact with one another until the time came for everybody to go home and Barb announced, I need a ride home. Another young fellow stepped forward and said, hey, I'll give you a ride home. But I knew him to be quite the ladies' man, you know, an international sort. He had Roman hands and Russian fingers. And apparently I didn't ask Barb at all. I just stepped between them and said, no, you won't. I'm taking her home. I took her by the arm and escorted her to my little yellow Volkswagen Bug and took her. I had no other purpose in mind but then to protect a nice young lady from a wolf. But as we stood there in her driveway that night and said goodnight, we sorted things out and reached a bit of an understanding that has lasted 41 married years, two children and six grandchildren later. I think what attracted her to me was I made her feel secure. I know what attracted me to her was that long brown hair and those big blue eyes, but I share that story to tell you, we're going to talk about security. Do you feel secure with your mate? Do you feel secure in your family? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Father, help us today. I've gone through several revisions of this message before we got here this morning, and I'm still working on it. In fact, I'm still working on being a husband, as we all are working on our lot in life. So help us today. Perhaps there's another angle, a different tool you would use to help nudge us. I'm fascinated, God, by how little nudges can change everything. A conversation that we have can light up a room that we never considered before. And it can change the way we carry ourselves, the way we love one another. It can do so much. May today be one of those days. May your word be that light bulb experience for us, that aha moment that helps us to be better than ever we were before. And we'll thank you for that help here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Start with our first word here, husbands. Husbands. It takes a man to be a husband. Boys ought to become men before they concern themselves with girls. Now, I know I'm speaking a little archaic today. I know I'm a little old-fashioned, but let me present my case here this morning. I think we ought to be careful about how early we start this whole conversation of boys and girls. I wish there was a revival of cooties. Girls had cooties when I was in kindergarten and elementary school, and you just stayed away from one another. But that doesn't seem to be the case anymore as we go along. So here an old man present his case today. Many fellas get so caught up in girls, they lose their way. They are in this little fog a little bit too early. And my advice would be, young man, to find out what God built you to do. Get on that path before you look for a partner. Find out who you were created to be. What are your gifts? Why are you here? Figure you out before you try to get a partner in all of this. And that will answer a lot of your questions. In my opinion, just my opinion now, understand, if you need your mommy to drive you on your first date, you're not old enough to date. Grow up a little bit. Get some maturity behind you. You don't need a girlfriend. You need a life. You need a life before you can share it with somebody else. Become somebody. I don't mean that in a popular sense. I mean that in a self-assured sense. Know who you are, what you're about, what you're looking for in life, and what direction you plan to head. Give sports a try. Hit the books. Learn a skill. Proverbs says, get your fields ready before you build your house. Get yourself a life before you start your family. There's so much growing up to do. There's so much to understand before we get hooked up. You want to be able to go to your intended father with a bit of a plan. Here's how we intend to live life. Here's how we intend to support us. And it shouldn't start with, well, we thought we'd live with you for the first 3 or 5 years until, now that may be apropos in some situations. But maybe there's a better plan than that. Be a man. Take responsibility. Offer security, protection, provision. Stand up for her. Not in an overbearing way at all, but in a protective genre that makes her feel secure. Once you're on your way to becoming a man, give what you've earned. Surrender, sacrifice that willingly as you cherish this woman that God would put into your life. Love her like Christ loves the church. Well, how does Christ love? He doesn't hold back. He gave the very last ounce of his being for the good of the church. And he is still giving even today. We chatted a little bit about it in the prayer room before service. And yesterday I was walking the dog. Just such a gorgeous day yesterday. And so many different things had happened. I just felt like the cherry on top of this sundae yesterday, that God was pouring out and blessing. I heard a message this week, as a matter of fact, from one of the pastors. I think it was David Jeremiah. And he said, sometimes God does things just because he loves you. You know, a lot of times he gives us things that we can use in the ministry and to bless others with. But sometimes it's just a dead end street where he just said, no, this isn't so you can or what. It's just for you. I was delighting over you, and so, bing, here it is. Just, that's the God that we serve. And that's what we're to become like. Sometimes God just, it's not the anniversary. It's not your birthday. I just need to say to you, I love you. Husbands need to remember to be spontaneous and to love like Christ loves the church. Don't wait for her to pour out to you. Don't wait for her to initiate kind words or what have you. But initiate that. Come up with reasons. And not just, I love you. I love you because. You know, I find this in my own life. I'm trying to correct it. But I will so often think loving thoughts about my wife. I will appreciate what she, oh, I'm glad she paid that bill. I'm glad she took care of that. I went to do something here. She's already taken care of it. But I don't say it. And it's so important to communicate that. Hey, I appreciate. When she does that for me, I cherish those words that up. And in fact, it's almost comical. The lift that it gives you, a few simple words from somebody that you love, that they have appreciated something that you are or that you have done. Jesus gave himself up for his love, his church, to make her holy, washed, radiant. And so you're building up this woman that God has given to you. We're not in a competition with our wives. We men are so competitive. And we tend to think in those kinds, well, I did this, what do you do? And I'm going to get done first. And all that. That's no. You were created to love her. That's why you're here. Well, what is she? It doesn't matter. That's not the question. This is what God has called us to do. He's called us to love a woman. And I'll tell you what, that's a moving target. It's hard to define. It's hard to explain. And what used to work no longer works or is no longer valuable. I mean, I love that when you get in, okay, I know what her favorite flower is. No, I know what her favorite flower was. And I find that out by bringing what it was and then learning something new. Oh, okay. Now I'm catching up here. I know what you used to love, what we used to do. Well, oh, wow, that's now changed. And so loving a woman is a lifelong learning experience that blossoms with age. And so we need to be careful about that. We need to pay attention to the cues along the way. I can't tell you how many times in a week my wife says to me, I told you this already. You did? I think she has a very poor memory. She thinks she told me. I don't know what. That's just my opinion of the way things are. I need to pay better attention if I'm going to love this woman. Love submits to things that we hadn't considered before. Verse 28 says, he who loves his wife loves himself. You want to do yourself some good? Love your wife. That's one of the best things you can, but it's too hard. I can't keep up. No. Step back, take a deep breath, go at it again. You can do this thing. God has created us to be able to do this. The best thing you can do for yourself is love your wife. And I thought while I was reviewing this for this morning and thinking about that opening illustration, it changes. What attracted, we talked about this a little bit last week, you might remember, you know, what attracted them to you before you got married no longer attracts them after you've gotten married. Things are different. It's a moving target how you're going to bless your wife. Pre-marriage, we're, look what I can do. You know, I'm going to impress, I'm going to attract. That doesn't work after marriage. Look what I did. Look what I can do. You normally get a very cold response to that, if not a rebuke. And they may even say something like, oh, well, you didn't do it. My neighbor and I, we live so close together. We've got this little tiny strip of grass between the houses. And the property line goes through the middle. And I said, is it okay if I just mow your little part of that grass? Because it's easier for me to mow it all than to try to mow a straight line. I just am always crooked. So would you? And he said, no, go ahead. That's great. So he come out the one day and he says, you know, my wife said, I like the way Joel mows the lawn better than the way you mow the lawn. And I said, isn't that just like a wife? Before you get married, oh, you're so wonderful, big, so strong. After you get married, what do you hear? Oh, the neighbor mows the grass better than you do. You know, it's different. We're trying to impress. Don't try to impress your wife. You probably learned by now you can't. Can't impress a wife. But you can love a wife. You can be humble. See, pride kind of works before. That's the attractive thing. And that's what's kind of nasty about this whole thing. We men thought this is what attracted them. This is what will keep them happy. No, not at all. It actually is a complete 360 or 180, I should say, 180 after you get married. Pride can attract, but humility bonds. And if you want to repel after you're married, then pride shows up. Well, this is who I am, and this is what I do, and this is what I do. No. That but humbly loving. That's what's going to bind together. So I got a kick out of my little granddaughter, 2 years old, Adeline. It took her a while to warm up to Grandpa when we got to Virginia. Haven't seen her for over a year. So, but once she warmed up, she came over, and you know, just a little 2 years. And you know how girls do, little girls do, they point to, Grandpa, you like my shoes, you know. Oh, those are beautiful shoes, you know, and you get this. And then she says, Grandpa, watch this. And she twirls around, you know, like a little ballerina. Oh, that's beautiful, you know. And it's showing off because you love, you are attracted, you're bonding that way. Again, that works pre-marriage. It works with grandchildren and grandpas, but not in a marriage. In fact, you'll find at times when you're broken, you're embarrassed. You don't want to show your emotions. You'll find her arm around your shoulders. And the bonding will go a step further. It's an oxymoron. It's counterintuitive to us men. But love. Simply love. Make her your baby doll. The princess of the realm. Snow White, Cinderella, Queen Esther, all in one. Lift her up. Cherish her. Bless her with your words and with your compliments. If you're keeping a scorecard in your head, well, I did this, this, and this, and so she should appreciate that, and so on and so forth. Well, you're busted. No scorecards allowed. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I'll tell you something else. Love keeps no record of rights, what I've done right, what I should be appreciated. You know, nobody appreciates me, nobody this, not that. Wrong. This is something precious that God has placed with you. I often think about this. God has allowed me one of his daughters. Now, my son-in-law better treat my daughter right. He better treat her well. God is not just my father. He's also my father-in-law. And so I need to be very careful. And he expects me to treat her well, regardless of mood, regardless of response. I'm to lift her up. I'm to bless. She doesn't have to pay half the rent. Tend the garden. Sew her own clothes. No, be a man. Be a provider. Be a worker. If there's a contest, there isn't, but if there was a contest over who does more and who loves more, who's given, then win that contest. Lay yourself down for your bride. Verse 28 says, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. So be a bodybuilder. Build yourself a wife. Bless her. Lift her up. Care for her needs. Pour into her. Make her radiant. Now, let me tell you, that's not possible. But you can try. I say it's not possible because we're clueless when it comes to women. Have you noticed that? How clueless we can be as to what is very clear and evident to you, what is obvious from your point of view. It's not possible because we're clueless as to how to build up and bless. Now, they're, from their standpoint, they're telling us. They're making it very clear, but it's still not connecting most of the time. That's because things that bless us don't bless her. You could give her the bigger chunk of steak from the better side of that. You can give her a jersey from your favorite football player. Ha ha. No, not usually anyway. You can give her what you want and it's not going to, no, that's not what she wants. I'm going to say something. Please don't storm the pulpit. Please wait just another minute, ladies, till I finish my thought here. You can even give her what she says she wants and she still won't be pleased. All the men said, men, protect me here in this next little thing here. There are deeper needs than even she can express. And even when she gets what she wants, it doesn't satisfy the need in the soul. Now, being married to a woman, I observe there's depth there. A lot, my wife is a lot deeper than I am. Emotionally, mentally, much more aware of what's going on in the world around me than I am. If I've got bacon, I'm happy. You know, that's, she's got a deep well of needs. I bought my wife a refrigerator for her birthday. You should have seen her face light up when she opened it up. That's a joke. That's only a joke. Men love tools. We get a new tool. Oh, 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 oh. Don't be buying your wife the tools she uses and think that's going to make her. No, do buy her the tools she needs or whatever. That's great. But don't expect the same woohoo that a man gets when he hears something roar to life. It's not the same thing. So how do we do this thing? What scratches the itch there? What's going to bring us back together? She used to admire me so much when we were dating. Now it doesn't seem like I can do anything right at all. She loves the boys. She loves the grandsons. She loves it, but why? I'll go out and show I can do what they can do and I can do it better. How's that work? And not very well. You got her what she wanted. So what? That's what you're supposed to do. You're the provider. Having done what God has called us to do, don't look for the parade. Don't look for the ticker tape. It's what we do. Don't look for the looking for the appreciation ruins everything. I don't know if you've ever done it. Hey, did you notice? And what did you hear in response? Yeah, I did. And you know, the next time you do it, you ought to do it this way. Oh, whoa, 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 wait a second. That's not what I was after here. I was fishing for, you know, maybe a little compliment, and I got a boot. You'll get a boot every time. And see, what has to happen here is we have to mature. We have to get better than that. If in your mind you're always troubled about they're not, everybody's going to be miserable. And we men have to grow up, become a little more mature, and find our appreciation, for lack of a better word, our juice from a different source. Just as our ladies need to find their source differently than just in their husbands. You see, there are needs in both of us that neither of us can meet, and both of us together cannot meet. And I think you can see where I'm going with that. Stop expecting a return on your investment. It ain't coming. Men don't think like ladies, and waiting for your man to start thinking that way, you're, no, going to get a lot of wrinkles that way. Men waiting for their women to, don't do in order to receive, just give. Husbands, love your wives. Yeah, but they shut up with the yeah buts. Husbands, love your, well, if I had that wife, I really, no. Husbands, love your wife. You didn't come together by accident. There is a divine nature to this thing. And God, yes, he has a great sense of humor. And he has a wonderful way of bringing out of us our flesh and our meanness, our selfishness and so on. That's part of this genius of marriage that God came up with. Don't do in order to receive, just give. And after a while, when you mature and you're satisfied and you're okay with just having done your part, the rewards will start coming back to you in ways that you never conceived possible. It won't be what you were expecting. It won't be what you were looking for. It'll be far better. There will be a contentment, a joy, a peace, a satisfaction. Yes, I've done what God has called me to do. And you will find a reflection from God that says, well done. Well done, son. Well done, daughter. We're doing this together. We're doing this well. Your rewards are great, but they're not the rewards you were looking for. They're certainly not the rewards the world says, this is what happens. This is what you will receive. This is what you get. All those things are small. They're immature. They're fleshly. Just do your job. Plow your row. Give all you got. Days will come when you are oh so glad you stuck to the script, did your best, kept your heart pure. There will be days, there will be seasons when you are so tempted to just walk out that door and leave all your troubles behind you. That's the thought that you'll have. It would be so much easier just to. But if you don't do that, I promise you there will be moments with tears in your eyes, you'll say, I'm so glad I didn't listen to the enemy's voice in that moment. It would have been so, I'd have been so justified. All my friends, all my family would have said, yes, that's what you should do. We understand what's going on here. But you'll be so glad you stuck it through. You want to make a woman angry? Tell her how wonderful her husband is. If you're her husband, that is. You want to upset a woman? Tell her what a great guy you are and how she's not appreciating all of your wonderful qualities. This is why you better be a man before you get married. Because if you're still needy, you're going to get lit. There isn't a man alive who can do enough for his wife. There isn't a woman alive who can do enough for her husband. Human beings are far too finite for that task. We're not built to meet each other's every need. If she doesn't find her identity in Christ, if he doesn't know how to go into the throne room and pour his soul out before his Father, it's not going to work. We're going to end up bitter and cold and distant from one another. Guys, you need to know how to vent. And you need to vent to the Father. I remember when I was younger, I enjoyed being able to call my dad and get his advice on so many different topics. And I just felt better after talking to Dad. And that is also true about talking to our Heavenly Father. And I can't tell you how many times I took my wife before my Father and I said, God, this woman that you gave me, I don't understand. And how often he straightened me out. And although I came in with an angry heart, I went away with a heart full of love and understanding. I can't do marriage without God. I don't know about you. I cannot do marriage without God. And I don't believe anybody can. And I think it's designed that way. To drive us back to God. Drive us back to our knees. And this mystery that I do not understand, but I've experienced it over and over again. My marriage drives me nuts. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me in all my life. I end up loving that woman more after these bouts and corrections from the Father and understanding how often I have been dead wrong about what she's thinking and why she's doing what she's doing. And the revelation that came to it all was earth-shaking. Oh, wow. I almost blew this whole thing because I just didn't understand. I just didn't know. And there's only one that's got it all figured out. You need to plug into that source. Wives, submit to, respect your husband. Husband, love your wife. Neither of those is possible outside of God. But God gave you an assignment, and he gave me an assignment. He said, love your wife. It is our noble duty. And God would say to us, don't point to them. I'm talking to you right now. Remember when he had Peter beside the shore and Peter said, well, what about that guy? And God said, what is that to you? That's what God would say to you. Well, what about what is that to you? Here's your noble duty. You go love that wife. Have you loved her today? Or have you just lived with her? Have you given any thought at all? What would be a blessing to her? Is there something I could leave a note? What might help? You'll probably get it wrong, but try. You know? Try. Have you loved her? That's your job. Her job is her job. That's her noble duty. The rest is God's territory. And there isn't a knee-jerk response to this. There isn't a, well, I did this and it didn't work. Bah! These are seeds. We plant them. We stay at them. We work at it day after day, week after week, year after, decade after decade. Just keep loving. Just keep loving. Just keep loving. And God promises it'll pay off. You know the best advice they can give you financially is start young. Put away a little bit. You're not going to be rich by the time you're 30. But when you retire, you'll be oh so glad you did it right back then. Or you can keep coming up with excuses why we can't start that just yet. And the same is true in your love relationship with your mate. Well, if they would, and when we get past this, and no, just start now. Wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Honestly, give your best. Then be pleased with yourself. I think this is a mistake we men often make. We're looking for affirmation. No. Talk to the Father. Father, how am I doing? Father, are you pleased? There's great joy in that. Lord, you see. You know. You alone understand. Nobody else understands. Your individual situation. Only God does. And that's enough. And if he is pleased, let there be peace in your heart. Let there be joy. Wives, is God pleased with how you are relating to your husband? Then it's all that matters. But he isn't responding well. He isn't. Is God pleased? Gentlemen, is God pleased with the type of husband you are, the way you're treating your wife, the way you're treating his daughter? Is God pleased? Are you doing what he's asked you to do? Have you taken his corrections? Have you done something about it? Okay. Then be pleased with that. We men need to learn how to get along without a cheering section. We thought we married a cheerleader. She was all, woo-hoo, you're so strong. And we found out that's not it. And that's okay. We need to learn to get our juice from God. And when he's filled you up, you've got enough to share and to give and to keep on giving. I've had enough. I can't take this anymore. That's devil talk. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't know what's next. I've had enough already. I don't know what's next. No, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to him. But her attitude, trust me, her attitude is something God is doing good in your life. But he that, trust me, how he's acting right now, God will use that in your life to polish and to bless you like you can't imagine. But you've got to hang in there. You've got to trust and get back to your source. If you've not got enough, that's an issue with God. That's not an issue with your mate. That's an issue. You may have to talk some things over. You may have to straighten some things out. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But if you don't have enough, you got to talk to the Father about that. Find satisfaction in the Lord. I found that love is of God. I can't love, but God in me can. And when God loves my wife through me, I'm absolutely amazed at what my heart feels like of all that's going on. I love love. I love to feel love toward my wife. I love when things break and there's a freshness to it all. And I know that all comes from God. I couldn't have loved were it not for him. But because of him, it's sweet. It's special. It's rich. It's full. And the same is true her toward me. She would have had so many reasons just to give up. Just to quit. What a lunkhead. What? But love is of God. So good luck doing your noble, avowed duty. Ladies, good luck respecting that guy. I know what guys are like. Men, good luck loving that moving target that changes all the time. You're going to need God's help like never before. But stick to it. I hope you heard the message today. Quit having a bone to pick with your mate. Take it to God. Take it to God. Get what you need from God. You lack something? Tell God. I need this. This should be happening. Blah, 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 blah. Pour it out before him. He'll teach you. He'll show you. He'll bring about good things in your life. And he'll teach you how to love this partner that he gave to you. Pour out your sorrows, fears, regrets to the Lord, and find the strength there to go on. Then there will be those days, those moments when it will be so good, so rich, so sweet. That won't happen every day. It won't come automatically. But hang in there. Keep doing your noble duty. You can plant lettuce, in a couple days you've got lettuce. Can't do that with corn. The more nutritious, the more strengthening, the longer it takes to develop. I heard a song that might bless you. I was in the YMCA yesterday morning, the Y's gym, and it's the Young Men's Christian. So I know this is an old hymn of the church. Maybe you've heard it before. You might be right, I might be crazy, but it just might be a lunatic you're looking for. Remember that old hymn of the church? You might be right, I might be crazy, but it might just be a lunatic you're looking for. Isn't it funny how when you were dating, you liked the lunacy, but then after you got married, you were looking for a provider, somebody to keep you secure, so on and so forth. Well, you might be right. We might be crazy. But maybe you were looking for that in the beginning. Who can straighten crazy out? Who can make things right? Who can help us transition from what we used to be when we were dating to what we need to be by the time we're grandparents? There's only one source to that. But you and I have to be willing to follow. Would you stand with me this morning? I will follow.